The scripture reading from this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in the chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get up and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shears, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with this scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is preventing me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he was passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Thank you, Baruch. So today we're celebrating that many of us are able to be back in this sanctuary, in this space where we have gathered so many times and where many others have gathered over the years, going all the way back to this building, goes all the way back to 1890. This space, this site, goes back all the way, 1826, I believe. I felt led over the last several weeks, and I think I'm going to stick with it a little bit, to preach from the book of Acts, because these are stories we actually don't often hear or study or preach from, and yet they're very critical stories about the experiences of the early church as it had just been formed after Pentecost. And I think they're good stories to help us think about what it means to be church, what is the essence of church, as we are redefining church, I hope. We've learned in a whole new way, the church is not this building, we are the church, and I think these stories can help us think about and raise questions about the nature of being church. This week we also learned, to my delight, I didn't know this was in the works, we learned that Juneteenth has been declared a national holiday, a federal holiday. It's symbolic, but we hope it's symbolic of important things happening. And it is, I think, symbolic of movement, of racial reckoning, of some awareness growing, hopefully growing power to people who have been marginalized and oppressed. I think it's also symbolic of the resistance of many white folks all the way back to the 1860s, who really just didn't want to let their slaves know out there in Texas that they had been freed. The history, I believe, is they were actually, everyone in a slave state was freed with the Emancipation Proclamation, January 1st, 1863. The Civil War ended in 1865 in April, but these black slaves in Texas didn't get the word till June 19th of 1865, 2.5 years later. That resistance of white folks to black liberation has not gone away. It just keeps changing itself, doesn't it? And of course, today is Father's Day. Always an interesting holiday, in some ways a Hallmark holiday, right? Created to sell cards and flowers and take people out to lunch, but it's also a good holiday if we broaden it, as I tried to do in the children's time, to celebrate families in all sorts of ways and the men in our lives. So then I looked at all of that and this scripture and thought, what am I doing with this? Why did I pick this scripture this week? But I hope there's some possibilities for you to think about and reflect on. Today's scriptures is in some ways a strange passage, is it not? Philip's up in Samaria, he's been evangelizing, and then this angel appears out of nowhere and says, go down this road to Gaza. We've heard about Gaza in the news recently, and the road to Gaza is probably still a wilderness road in some ways. It is still a road of some danger and threat. I was reminded that many years ago, a missionary nurse that had been in Bangladesh went to work at a Baptist hospital in Gaza and was killed on the road one night when the van she was in was held up. Gaza has been a place of danger for a long time. But Philip went down that road. The interesting thing is that I did not know. I had always assumed this Philip was the one of the 12 disciples, that Philip. But it turns out if you look more closely in Acts, when they named 7 deacons, one of those was also named Philip, and he ended up being called Philip the Evangelist. And so most commentators believe that this Philip was Philip the deacon, not Philip, one of the 12 disciples. At any rate, Philip is going down the road at the angel's command, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch, court official, traveling along in a chariot. How many of you get an immediate image from Sunday school of this story? Anybody got that picture in your mind? The fancy chariot, the guy in the fancy robes, and Philip running along beside, kind of waving him down. I mean, it just immediately comes to my mind. That's all I really know about the story is that image. But that's there very clearly in my mind. So this Ethiopian, we don't know his name. We only know that he served the Queen of Ethiopia. We know who he was in service to. I read an interesting commentary by Father Shannon Kearns on a queer theology site who talked about this story. And he said that a eunuch most likely was castrated. Young slave boys were castrated to make them eunuchs. And they were then allowed to serve queens or high-ranking women in court because they believed then they wouldn't be a danger that they might sexually get involved with them. This eunuch had risen to the point of being the head of the treasury, but we can assume he was still a slave. He was in service to the queen. We know he was a slave. We know he was an Ethiopian. Therefore, we know he was an African. He was a black man. But he had been up to Jerusalem, the story says, wanting to worship. And yet, we can assume that he was not allowed into the temple because, as a eunuch, the book of Deuteronomy clearly forbid them from going into the temple grounds. So he would have been turned away. When Philip saw him, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, reading aloud, which I think was much more the common practice in that day. And he was reading a passage about the suffering servant, about the Messiah who was going to come, who was going to suffer, who was going to take on the sins of the people. And Philip, when he runs up to him, however it was, he said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man's response is, "How can I understand this if I have no one to explain it to me? I need a teacher. This doesn't make any sense to me." So again, Philip gets up in the chariot and they ride along and they go into this very deep spiritual theological discussion. Philip explaining to him about Jesus' life and ministry, about his death, his resurrection. And then the Ethiopian sees some water and he says, "What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" Somehow that feels a whole lot more powerful if we can imagine that he had just a short time before been clearly known he was prevented from going into the temple, that he was not allowed in the temple. So he's like, all right, here's water. What's to prevent me from joining? And Philip's response is, nothing to prevent you. The door's wide open. It doesn't matter that you're a eunuch. It doesn't matter that you're African. It doesn't matter that you're a slave. It doesn't matter that you're an Ethiopian. None of that matters. You are welcome to be baptized. The Spirit of God has sent me out here to find you on this road. And so Philip understood and went into the water with him and baptized him. And then, again, the strangeness of the story, Philip gets teleported back to somewhere else. He disappears, and the Ethiopian is left to go on his way back to Ethiopia. If we read a couple chapters later in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' Do not let the eunuch say, 'I am just a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and in my walls a monument and a name that is better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off." This unnamed man, this first African that we know of for sure, who became a follower of Christ in the New Testament, this eunuch, as Father Shannon Kearns refers to him, this gender non-conforming slave man, became the father of the Ethiopian church. Tradition claims him as the one who brought the gospel, the news of Jesus Christ, to Ethiopia. Once again, the theme of the book of Acts is that God's good news is wide open. It is radically inclusive. It is meant for everyone across the world. And we see again and again these unlikely, unexpected people that God's Spirit uses for God's purposes throughout the church's history. God knows their hearts. God knows their desire and their seeking to worship, and God honors that and sends people to connect with them and tell them the good news of Jesus. Reading this story on this Father's Day weekend, on this first Juneteenth national celebration, remembering, makes me think of all of our ancestors, all the fathers and, yes, mothers, all our forebears whose faith has made possible the faith we hold today. Most of their names we don't know, do we? We don't even know most of the names of our own family ancestors, actually. And we certainly don't know most of the names of our forefathers in this church. And yet we know their faith has helped bring us to this day, to the place we are in our own lives, the blessings, the faith that we know. We don't know the details of their lives, but we know that because of them, we are here. I read a quote yesterday from someone at the Juneteenth celebration in Jamestown, Virginia, at the site where the first slaves were brought ashore in 1619. And this black woman said, "We here today celebrating are their hopes and dreams finally fulfilled." She made that connection back to those first slaves brought ashore in 1619 and said, we are here today celebrating the freedom they longed for and were hundreds of years away from finding. So we too are here because of our fathers and our mothers. We are here because of their faith. And I invite you going home today, this week, just take a minute and think about the people who have blessed your life, the people whose love and faith helped make you who you are, the people whose example helped shape you to be the person you are today. For those of you who've been here a while, some of them were in this congregation. Some of them are in this congregation, for sure. But there are also so many more. And so today we can give thanks. We can be grateful, and we are the hopes, the dreams, the future fulfilled, and then that we will be those who bring it to the next generation. It is such a delight, is it not, to be back with our children in worship in a way we haven't been able to be. It's a long legacy that we are standing a part of. Let's pray. God of love, we thank you for the unexpected, surprising people in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in our lives, and the history that we stand in of this church and of this country, people whose courage and faith, whose endurance, whose perseverance, whose love and grace have blessed us and brought us to be the people we are today. Help us to be faithful to them, to be faithful to you, to live in faith and love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.